Welcome again to our study on the book of Romans, and previously we have spoken about the wrath of God against sin and how we are all sinners because indeed we were born in sin, we received the Adamic nature, and therefore we sin because we are sinners and our case is hopeless. But God in His great love gave Christ, His Son, to die upon the cross, that if we believe in Him, we should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we have been developing this in the book of Romans, and now I'd like to consider in chapter 5 the fruit of those who know their sins are forgiven, the fruit of those who know that they are justified by faith, the fruit of those who know that Christ died for their sins and took God's wrath for their sins in His own body upon the cross. Well, the fruit of being justified, Paul deals with in chapter 5. And first of all, he says, we have peace with God. Peace with God. You know, peace is something that everybody desires in this world. We look around us in the times in which we live, and we look for peace, and we cannot find it. No nation seems to have peace. All nations are having trouble, either in their economy, from the terrorist, or even in actual battles that they are fighting. And people, you know, are covered with gloom. They don't know what is happening. But thank God, when you are justified by faith in Christ, you have a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world cannot give. In fact, the pursuit of peace is so great that when the Antichrist comes up from the earth, he is going to promise peace. And all those who do not know Christ will be deceived in thinking that this man will bring peace. But there's only one true peace, and that is the peace that the Prince of Peace gives, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, my peace I give unto you. And that peace is for all those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, who have the knowledge that their sins are forgiven. And then, of course, you see, peace brings forth another beautiful, beautiful fruit. And that is joy. And the Apostle Paul speaks of that joy. You know, good old Pope John the 23rd, he was called the Evangelical Pope. And in his book, A Journey of the Soul, he paraphrased Psalm 51 in the following manner, and where King David speaks of the joy of thy salvation. Good old Pope John the 23rd characterized it in this way and said, the joy of Jesus. And truly, that is what God promises. You know, just after the Last Supper, the Lord spoke a number of homilies to His disciples on the way to the cross, on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And one of them was the fact that He was a true vine and His Father the husbandman, and we are the branches. And He said, you know, those that abide in Him and His Word abides in them. And how do we abide in Christ? By walking in His commandments. And how does the life of Christ flow through us? Well, it is by reading the Word of God. And then he said, I've told you these things, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. And so, here is the key to knowing joy. And joy is so wonderful. For joy is strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And here is the promise for joy. You know, people sometimes look for joy at the cinema or at the sports arena and so forth, but that is a fleeting joy. Jesus spoke of a joy that abides and a joy that is full. And here it's found in being justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, not only do we have peace and joy, but we have hope. Hope. Hope is so very wonderful. You know, one of the tortures and agonies of those in hell is they have no hope. No hope. Hope springs eternal in the Christian breast because hope is anchored in the God of all hope. Beautiful title of God, isn't it? God of all hope. You see? And hope. What does hope produce? Well, hope produces the things that we desire. And, of course, the true hope of a Christian is in the next virtue, and that is glory. And glory speaks of that glorious presence of God that we shall enjoy throughout all eternity in heaven above. And so there he says, we have peace, we have joy, we have hope. And we will live together with Christ and God in heaven above, in the glorious light of his presence. But also, you see, the fruit of being justified and knowing our sins are forgiven produces patience. Now, patience means endurance. And endurance relates to obstacles and difficulties in our lives. You see, our characters are being formed by God day in and day out. And patience, that endurance, that enables us to face all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of problems, all kinds of difficulties, forms our character. How many people do we know? Do you know? Do I know? Who, faced with an obstacle, turn back? Now, Jesus put it this way, "He that putteth his hand to the plough and turneth back is not worthy of the kingdom of God." Well, you know, so many people lose their reward because they give up. You know, so many people don't like school, and so they give up. Well, they're never going to receive the rewards of someone who graduates. And the person who persists, person who endures obstacles, is the one who gets rewards, not only in the life everlasting, but in this life too. And patience is one of those virtues that is developed in our hearts when we know Christ as our Savior. But then also, Paul speaks of steadfastness. You know, in Galatians, he likens, in Galatians chapter 6, he likens the Christian to a soldier, to a Roman soldier. And the Roman military was the most feared and admired in all of history. They had a method of fighting that in those days was very effectual. And it consisted of marching in squares and in ranks and always remaining at one's post. And so when a soldier remained at his post and his companions remained at their post. Well, it was like a wall marching against the enemy. And many the time, the enemy soldiers ran when they saw the steadfastness of the Roman army marching against them. Well, this is what the Apostle Paul likens a Christian to. One who has, if I could say this, a hat of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girded about with truth, the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God in his hand, and shod with the gospel of peace. You know, he goes on to say, you know, this is the armor, the helmet, so important, of salvation, our mind with the knowledge of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girded about with the truth, shod with the message of the gospel, the word of God in our hands. And then he says this, and then having done all, stand. See, that's the thing, you can be well equipped, but will you stand? Do you have that steadfastness that comes from the knowledge you are a son or a daughter of the living God? See, so many people give up. And it makes me sad to see so many turn aside for one thing or another. But oh, how important it is to have that steadfastness, to having done all, to stand. Stand for what we believe. Stand for the truth. Stand for righteousness. When all around are falling, we stand for that which is right. My heart goes out to those that are young in this generation, because peer pressure tends to seek to make you conform to the mores or the values and morals of this world, which are so putrid. But in Christ, you can get strength to stand. And then, what happens after all this? These wonderful qualities of peace, joy, hope, glory, patience, steadfastness. You know what comes next? Love. You know, when these things are engendered in you, there becomes within your heart an overflowing of love and admiration for Christ, a deeper appreciation of his life, a deeper appreciation of his character, his ministry, and his suffering. And he did it all for us. And we have a deeper and deeper love and admiration for Christ, but also a love for our fellow man, seeking to help them attain unto that glorious salvation, having experienced salvation, to remain on the pathway of righteousness. It's a long road to love, but when you've got that love in your heart, oh, it says love is so strong. It's so strong. The love of a mother for her child, for a son, an errant son or an errant daughter. How that love will hold a woman. How that love will hold a father in, if I could say this, seeking to help and help and help and help again that one who's gone astray, that prodigal son. Love is very strong. And then, you know, this last thing of which he speaks, the fruit of being justified, the certainty of being saved from wrath. You know, it's wonderful. There's an old hymn written, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." And the older I become, the greater that assurance springs up in my heart, in my breast. That assurance that when it's my time to lay down my life, well, my body might remain here until the day of resurrection, but my spirit is going into heaven to be always with the Lord. It's wonderful to have assurance. You know, so many people lack assurance. They lack assurance. They become fearful. They're afraid of what is happening. But I tell you this, that when you have the assurance of sins forgiven, when you have the assurance of being saved, when you have the joy of His salvation in your heart, oh, it gives you such strength. It gives you such wonderful assurance that your home will be forever in heaven. Now, He returns. The Apostle Paul does, to a doctrinal study on the fact that this blessed assurance rests entirely upon Christ's work and not on ours. By grace we are saved, through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. And so, in a very real sense, you realize, yes, we are saved by God's grace. Nothing that we have done. And so this is a thing that now the Apostle Paul enters into, and he reiterates some of the truths that we have already discussed. He starts out with the thought in verse 14 that sin entered into the world through Adam's disobedience. It is important to repeat this truth. Because, you see, there are many studies in universities and colleges concerning philosophy, psychology, sociology, and the like, which tend to direct our thinking that we can improve ourselves and that through education, man can be better and this world made a better place. But that is not true. Psychology, philosophy, sociology cannot help because it cannot change the integral nature of man, which is sinful, because we are born of Adam's race, and Adam gave birth to sons and daughters after he had sinned, so that everyone has this nature of sin. Now, he goes on to a very important point that death reigns because of sin. Death reigns because of sin. And here is a proof. You know, Jesus had to take that cup and become sin, otherwise he could not have died. Adam would have lived forever if he had not sinned. And then, you know that death reigns through sin, and that we are born in sin is proven by the fact that babies die. They have not sinned per se, but they are sinners, and therefore, because they are sinners, death can cause the death of a baby. But grace and righteousness comes through Christ. Comes through Christ. And here, the Apostle Paul brings out this thought, and it's a very important truth indeed, something that we do well to meditate upon. And that is the thought of the two men. Adam. From Adam comes sin. We all have the nature of Adam. And because of that, we all die. Now then, in the gospel, it speaks of being born again. In fact, Christ made it very clear in John's gospel, chapter 3, he said, except a man be born again, he can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Now then, what does it mean to be born again? To be born again, he said, of the Spirit. We are born again when we ask Christ to come into our heart and save us. And when we are born again, then there are two men. There is Adam and Christ. The Adamic nature, well, we know that, don't we? Nature of sin. But when we ask Christ to save us, when we believe on Christ as our Savior, then He comes into our heart, and there are the two men. Adam, who can but sin. Christ, who cannot sin. This is what the Apostle John said. They that are born of God cannot sin. What he means was that the new nature cannot sin, but the old nature can sin. And so, the Apostle Paul develops this thought, and it's so important to know this. Being Christian, we have two natures. And something must be done about that old nature. Because that old nature can only sin, can only fall short of the glory of God. The new nature, who is Christ, cannot sin. And so we've got to learn how God has taken care of that old nature and His provision for it. And, you know, having Christ in our lives, well, what does it bring? It brings eternal life. Brings eternal life. It is so very wonderful to realize this. The old nature brings death, but the new nature brings life. And so now, the apostle is going to develop this thought of a life of holiness. A life of holiness. And it is characterized by three words: knowing, reckoning, and yielding. You see, we have these two natures. Well, which nature is going to triumph in our lives? And as long as that old nature is alive, it's going to produce its fruit of sin. So, God, through the writings of the Apostle Paul, brings out a very glorious truth. That when Christ was upon the cross, He not only took our sin, you know, as I mentioned before, that cup, He said, if it be possible, let it pass from me, but if not, thy will be done. He took that cup, which had your sin, my sin, He drank it, and He took our sin, and the wrath of God fell upon our sin in Christ. But Paul develops a further truth, which is very glorious indeed. And he says in Romans chapter 6 now, and verse 6, he says this, and I'd like to quote it verbatim, because it's very important indeed. He says this: knowing this, that our old man, or our Adamic nature, was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so, here, the Apostle Paul tells us a very important truth. That old nature, that old Adam, not just our sins, but that nature, was taken by Christ when he went to the cross, and that old nature hung with Christ upon the cross. And what the Apostle Paul is saying in Romans 6:6 is knowing, and that means by experience or having a revelation, that yes, when Christ was on the cross, my old nature hung on that cross with him. And therefore, I am crucified with Christ. And that was the beauty of the declaration of the Apostle Paul himself when he said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. And yet, he goes on to say, yet I live, and I live by the faith of the Son of God. And so, in our next session, we will speak more clearly on this. But I trust that by his grace you have received in this session, you know, faith to make you realize that when you receive Christ in your life, you receive a new man, a new creation that cannot sin, and this old nature has been dealt with on the cross. When Christ was on the cross, your old nature also was on that cross. And so I want to encourage you that not only will we know the joy of salvation, but we will know the joy of victory over sin in our lives. May God richly bless you. Thank you, and please study and read the book of Romans. It is a magnificent epistle, and it will be such a blessing to you. Thank you. God bless you.